The House holds a vote on the federal debt ceiling. The Prime Minister of Turkey makes his country a key player in the roiling Middle East. A program to help homeless people move out of shelters may be drawing more people into them. And Hollywood is rushing to embrace an 80-year-old fixture of Manhattan street food. I'm Pat Lyons with a preview of Wednesday's New York Times. In our lead story, political stagecraft in Congress over the national debt ceiling. House Republicans tried to send a message to their Democratic opponents by taking them at their word and bringing to a vote a measure the Democrats had once demanded, but that everybody on Capitol Hill knew would be a dead duck by now, a bill to raise the ceiling without any spending cuts attached. Virtually every member of the Republican majority, and more than a few Democrats as well, opposed that approach, saying that raising the debt limit without a commitment to fiscal restraint would be a tough sell with voters. Still, though most economists say the debt ceiling has to be raised by August to avoid default and a possible economic crisis, the financial markets are likely to greet the no vote in the House with a yawn, if only because Republican leaders have let it be known that the vote is just for show, to prompt President Obama to give some ground on spending cuts. According to Bruce Johnston at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Wall Street is in on the joke. With the population of New York City's homeless shelters at all-time highs, the city is moving to shut down its signature housing program for homeless families, saying that the program was so generous it was making the problem worse. Under the program, known as Advantage, the city would help people in shelters afford their own apartments by subsidizing their rent for up to 2 years, as long as they had work or were getting job training. Now, the city says, people have been giving up apartments and going into homeless shelters just to get the subsidy for moving out again, and that it can't afford to pay for the program any longer without state help. Advocates for the homeless are angry, saying the city is just looking for an excuse to cut spending, and that City Hall itself acknowledged, in its attempt to get state aid, that shutting down the rent subsidy program would cause the city's homeless population to spin out of control. Who will be held to account for all the harm done by mortgage-backed securities that Wall Street was so eager to sell in the housing boom? Though regulators have gotten some of the banks to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to settle claims that they misled investors, so far only one individual has been sued for fraud, Fabrice Tour, a 28-year-old mid-level trader at Goldman Sachs. Louise Story and Gretchen Morgenson of The Times examine how Mr. Tour came to be the face of the debacle, and they look at the questions his case raises about whether the Securities and Exchange Commission has been thorough enough or aggressive enough in its investigations. Ms. Story and Ms. Morgenson write that while it's clear Mr. Tour did not act alone, he may be out there all alone in the crosshairs, partly because he wrote emails that were too candid. Co-workers and bosses who worked on the same deals but kept their emails more discreet have not been named as targets in the case. Cruising to re-election in June after 8 fruitful years in power, the Prime Minister of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has become a major figure in the rapidly changing Middle East. Anthony Shadid of The Times profiles Mr. Erdogan from the campaign trail in Bursa, an industrial city in western Anatolia. Mr. Shadid reports that while the rolling revolutions of the Arab Spring took Turkey by surprise, the country stands to play an important role in how the Middle East reshapes itself in the next few years, not least because Turkey looms as a model of a functioning secular democracy in a mainly Muslim country with a booming economy. Mr. Erdogan has built up trade and diplomatic ties all over the region, with Iran and Syria as well as the Arab monarchies, and Israel too, until a recent rupture over Gaza. Turkey still aspires to join the European Union, and the reforms that the country adopted in order to apply for membership have made it a much more liberal place in recent years. His skills as an orator and instinctive leader have made Mr. Erdogan the country's dominant force. Egypt is still feeling its way forward after street protests drove Hosni Mubarak from power, and David Kirkpatrick reports from Cairo that the military council, now running the country, is putting heavy pressure on the Egyptian news media to shield the military's reputation. Journalists and bloggers have been hauled in for questioning about their reports and sources and prosecuted for libel and insulting the military, which are crimes under Egyptian law. The military's been widely criticized for soldiers' actions while Mr. Mubarak was still in power, including torturing and killing peaceful protesters. Human rights advocates and liberal activists worry that beyond chilling free speech and debate in the country, The measures may be a sign that the military will be difficult to bring under civilian control once national elections are held in the fall. The deadly tornadoes and widespread flooding that have spread destruction and death in the Midwest and South have also clobbered the local economy in the affected regions, just as the national recovery seemed to be kicking in. But Michael Cooper writes that a new phase may be slowly taking hold in some hard-hit areas, reconstruction accompanied by a burst of new economic activity. Retailers like Home Depot are improvising their way back into business in places like Joplin, Missouri, and contractors are hiring fast to tackle demolition, repair, and construction work, allowing the storm-struck areas to begin to gather some economic momentum again. Finally, a garish yellow and orange New York institution, a Papaya King hot dog and fruit juice stand, has turned up west of the Hudson for the first time, on Wilcox Avenue in the heart of Hollywood, California, of all places. And so far, the locals are welcoming it with open arms and avid appetites. Los Angeles is the biggest market for hot dogs in the country, Adam Nagorny writes in the Times. And as Seth Cohen of Papaya King pointed out, the city enjoys perfect hot dog weather year-round. Just as it has in New York, Papaya King chose an L.A. location a short walk from a number of night spots, whose denizens are already in the habit of hunting up a hot snack on a bun at the end of a long night of clubbing. L.A. has its own favorite hot dog stands, of course. Pink's, for example, nearly always has a line into the wee hours. But people sampling Papaya King in its first week in Hollywood told Mr. Nagorny that the stand's New Yorkishness was a big part of the appeal. And that's a preview of the front page of Wednesday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or visit nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Pat Lyons.